You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, welcome back. Now, at this time, as we're recording this, the whole world is in the midst of the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. There's a lot of shutdowns everywhere. A lot of challenges for so many of us. And mental resilience is something which has been tested to the limit for so many people, which is why I've got a great guest for us today. I've got Neil Wadia, who excels with this. Let me tell you about him. Neil is a 25-year U.S. Air Force veteran. He has helped individuals and teams to realize their full potential, and he's done that serving as a coach, advisor, and mentor to senior military leaders, business executives, young professionals, youth and adult athletes, fitness professionals, and to faith communities. His strength-based programs equip individuals and teams with practical skills to grow and thrive through stress and adversity and to propel their mental performance from good to great. And let's face it, we are all going through stress and adversity at the moment. So if anyone's going to be able to help us, it's Neil. Hey, Neil, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. And some of you may have caught Neil and I talking before. I was a guest on his show earlier. I'll pop the link to that in the show notes. And I'm thrilled that Neil is repaying the favor, and he's on here to help us with mental resilience and so on. We've heard your bio, Neil, but who is Neil?
I love to help people grow and thrive stress and adversity, and it's so important to me because I've seen whether you're talking about people at the high end of the spectrum of optimal performance. I've been involved with the military, police and law enforcement, paramedics, and business professionals, that they're always looking for that extra little 1 or 2%. There's always something that you can do to get just a little bit better. And then you've got all the way on the other end of the spectrum is people that are facing significant stress and adversity, so that there's something that they just can't get going right, whether it's their relationships or their job or their recreational pursuits, or something is going wrong and they just can't quite pull themselves out, or they can't quite make it through, and I clarify that this isn't therapy. It's coaching and it's consulting, and it complements really well with therapy, but it's skill-based development that helps you grow and thrive, because growing and thriving is the goal. The goal is always growth, and it's don't just survive and don't just cope, but actually thrive. And I love teaching people, because everybody has the capability to grow and thrive, and everybody has the capability to make it through what we're going through right now. Everybody has the skills. You just need to hone them in a little bit and just figure out what that means to you to get just a little bit stronger every day.
Nice. And that bit you say about how everybody has the ability to grow and to thrive, that I think is so important. That's why I feel that it's so great to have you as a guest on here, because I mean, the spread of people that you've worked with, I mean, it shows you don't have to be a military leader to benefit from this stuff. You don't have to be a business executive. You work with people right across the range, young to old, in sporting, in military, in business, in faith area, in all areas. So that really does demonstrate that this stuff really does work for everyone. And as you say, everyone has the ability to grow and to thrive.
Yeah, that's true. And it's funny, because when I started learning this, it was specifically for military personnel and their families. And I had the opportunity to start working with spouses, because they're a huge part of the team and the military community. And then that naturally lent itself to working with some youth. And I work with kids all the way down to junior high age, not just in sports, but we did a back to school, and we talked about studying and bullying. Bullying was a big thing for junior high and young high school students. And it was so interesting, because the conversations that we had were specific to them, but the skills remained the same, whether I was talking to a junior high school student, a college athlete, or a military professional or business professional. The skills themselves, the root of the skills, remain the same. It was just how do you approach it to make it relevant to this person so that they can implement it in their lives. I mean, if you think about, you know, a business professional going out and trying to be at the top of their game, and you talk about a junior high student or a high school student who's trying to overcome bullying, you know, and of course we're talking about mental, not physical. That's a different discussion. But if you're talking about mental bullying, you're talking about somebody who's making you feel less of a person, and nobody can do that to you unless you give them permission. So working with young children to become empowered, to understand how they can do it. Because it's one thing to say, oh, don't let them do that to you. People don't just know how to do that. If they knew how to do it, we wouldn't be having the conversation. So it's helping people understand how to do it and then empowering them and giving them permission. Because sometimes people just don't even consider that they have permission to have self-esteem and to know that they are worthy of respect. And so, you know, then you take those same skills and you apply it in the boardroom or on the battlefield or out on the streets with paramedics and law enforcement, or parents trying to identify with their kids. It's all about having that mental fortitude to keep yourself mentally under control so that you can be emotionally and physically under control.
Got it. Yeah. No, that is beautiful. I love the way that you say it's the tools, the tools, the techniques, the processes themselves are the same. The strategies are the same, but your skill comes in helping people in different situations figure out how they can apply that in their situation.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess let's dive into it. What do we mean by mental resilience? Let's start off there.
Well, when I talk about, I focus on mental resilience. When resilience means a lot of things to a lot of different people. You know, there's mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, social. You know, you can throw a lot of things into there. And I tend to focus primarily on the mental part of it because so much is driven by the mental part. Even when they talk about sports, you know, they talk about sports psychology and, you know, the mental aspect being such a large percentage of, and, you know, when you take away the physical activity, it's even more so. You know, they talk about esports now, you talk about business, yeah. You talk about relationships. There's so much mental that goes into it. And when I start talking to people about mental strength and mental preparation, a couple of things that I think about is, number one, your mental, your emotional, and your physical are all interconnected and they're interdependent. If one suffers, they all suffer. In order for one to be optimized, you have to optimize them all. And so by starting with the mental portion of it, you can go in similar to, and I always use this, the analogy of sports, because it's just an easy one, is, you know, you imagine an athlete preparing for an event. It's always about being mentally prepared for a physical event. And you can prepare yourself mentally and have a major impact on your emotional control and your physical control and physical preparedness simply by having positive thoughts, having positive self-talk. And it's not it's not woo-woo science, you know, it's not voodoo. It's the simple idea that you can mentally prepare yourself so that your emotions are under control. You have productive emotions and you have productive physical reactions, you know, and whether you talk about preparing for a sporting event, we could even talk about preparing to go in to take a test or preparing to go on stage to talk in front of, you've talked in front of hundreds of people. That's a skill. And to mentally prepare yourself for that type of an event, if you go, you know, say you're 5 minutes out from walking up on stage or you're 5 minutes out from starting to take a test, and I mean like something significant, let's talk about law or medical or IT where your job depends on it. There's people that have stress anxiety or test anxiety. And if you're going into some kind of test or performance where your job depends on it, or like you, where you have people that are looking for you to be the professional, the thought leader in this subject area, if you go on stage and bomb, it has major effects on you. If people fail a test, they could lose their job or not get the promotion they're looking for. So if you walk into a room and you're ready to do this thing and you suddenly feel your heart racing and your muscles are tense and you're sweating and you're heating up and now I can't think and I'm fidgeting, you know, people psych themselves out simply by telling themselves something, right? You're telling yourself something because you have to separate the event and your emotion. walking up in front of a crowd of people to talk doesn't make you nervous. Likewise, driving in traffic doesn't make you angry, right? You have to separate the two, because there's something that a lot of people don't give consideration to, and that's you are telling yourself something. You are having thoughts inside your head about that event, and that's what's driving your emotions. And if you can have productive thoughts, you will have more productive emotions and physical reactions. So, I mean, you and I talked about you overcame a lot of fears, and you're now the fear guru, and you teach people how the fear strategist, right? You teach people how to overcome their fears. And from the conversations that we had, there's a lot to do with the thoughts that are in your head. If they're not productive, can psych you out and drive you into a mental, physical, and emotional state where you're no longer prepared to handle that. Likewise, if you walk up in front of a stage and you tell yourself, you know what, relax, breathe, I got it, right? I know what I'm doing. I've been preparing for this. That's all productive self-talk. And it really does matter. And there's times where I'll give examples in front of a crowd and I'll talk about different scenarios and I'll talk my way through it. And my body will react as if I'm getting ready to do that, because your mind does not know the difference between real and perceived threat. So if you talk yourself into stress and threat and anxiety and adversity, even if it's not a real threat, your body will still react as if you're facing a threat. So you have to be very, very careful. That's why I focus a lot on the mental. Is you can do a lot. You can break down a lot of barriers simply by the thoughts that you have in your head.
Got it. So how can we do that? And I'm thinking, I mean, let's take an example of somebody's about to do something that's massively important, whether it's walk on stage and talk or take a test, or they're about to do something that's really major for them. And you've got all this, I mean, we are all only human. We all of us do have these thoughts going through our head. What if I mess it up? What if it goes wrong? What if I forget what I'm going to say? What if they laugh? Blah, blah, blah. How can we turn that around? How can we, in that moment, call upon the more positive thoughts in order to help us get through it?
Well, what I do is I create an image for people. And so, you know, you can write this up on a board or a piece of paper and make it a logical sequence, because I don't want to remove emotion. I don't want to take emotion out, because emotion is important. What I want to do is make sure that emotion has its place and it stays there. And emotion is driven by your thoughts. So if you imagine there's one box, that box represents the events that happen in your life. Right? And then you have another box on the other side, and that represents your emotions and your physical reactions. Well, once again, the events do not determine your emotions and your physical reactions. There's a thought bubble in the middle of those two boxes. And you need to imagine that. Here's the events that are happening. Here's my emotions. I need to have these thoughts. And you can write them in there. You can physically write them in. You can mentally write them in. What's a thought that I need to have? You know, an example that I use is, so let's say you're in an argument with somebody that you care about. We've all been there before. You're in an argument with somebody you care about, and the first thought that pops into your head is, they never listen to what I have to say. Think about what emotions that drives. What do you think of?
Frustration is the first one that comes to mind for me.
Frustration. Yeah. I've heard people say frustration, anger, resentment, or even give up, the idea of defeat, right? Those are all logical consequences of having that thought. They never listen to what I have to say. Suddenly I'm frustrated. And then there's physical reactions associated with that, where my heart's racing. And again, I'm just talking through this and my body is reacting as if it's actually happening. My heart is actually racing and my shoulders are tense just talking about this, because I'm having these thoughts and I'm talking myself into a situation. My mind doesn't know that it's not real. I'm telling my mind that it is. So if you have those physical reactions of frustration or anger, and now my muscles tense, what's a likely consequence? And a lot of people talk about, well, now I'm going to start talking louder, or I'm going to yell louder, or I'm going to have some type of thought that's going to drive further emotions. And you get caught in this cycle, because now you're going to think, well, I'm going to show them, because I'm going to win this fight. Or you have the alternate of, you know, the defeated thought of, they don't listen to me anyway, so I'm just going to shut down, right? And you can see how that just cycles into this really bad downward spiral. Whereas if you find yourself in an argument and your heart's racing because your thought was, they never listen to what I have to say. You now have control. You know that your thoughts drive your emotions. So you can have a more productive thought. You can stop it right in the middle, which is difficult, we know, because you're emotionally connected to this person. You care about this person. There's probably history there. And we know when you're caught in the moment, sometimes it's not easy to think, which is why we get caught up reacting to our emotions. But if you can stop and use the second technique that I like to talk about, and that's breath, to calm your body, take a deep breath, calm down, and have a more productive thought. What's likely a more productive thought in this situation is, this person really means a lot to me. And even just having that thought, I can feel my body calm down because that thought drives compassion and empathy. And you, with compassion and empathy, you're more likely to be relaxed. You're more likely to be quiet and listen to what the other person has to say. Your thought drives all that, and you have the capability, if you practice it, because remember, this is a skill. This isn't something you can just do, because we have a common saying in the military that you don't rise to the occasion. You fall to the level of your training. So if you train skills, you're more likely to be able to employ them. But if you just think about it and say, hey, that's a great idea, I'm going to try that sometime, but then never practice you're going to fall back on whatever your old habits are. So the idea that you control your thoughts, and by controlling your thoughts, you have productive emotions and physical reactions. And that's really that's what I consider the foundations of resilience and mental performance. Whether you're talking about the one end of the spectrum where people are having significant stress and adversity, you're talking about, you know, junior high kids having bullying issues, or you're talking all the way up to people that are at the top of their game, right? So, and we know that people that, whether they're in business, they're doing sales, going up on stage, talking, athletes going out onto the field or the pitch, we know that those type of people that are very successful at what they do utilize self-talk to put themselves in a proper emotional and physical state, because it works and it's very, very effective.
Right. Got it. I love the two techniques that you've shared there. And I think a really important part of it, which you stressed a couple of times, is you have to practice it. Yeah. You've got to prepare in advance, and you've got to practice these so that when you're in that situation, it comes to you. It's not something that you have to try and think about as well as everything else that's going on. So the better prepared you are, the more you're able to call upon these skills.
Yeah. And when I do consulting or when I do coaching, whether I'm in a group and I ask for a volunteer, or I'm working one-on-one and I'll ask the person, give me an example, you know, something in the recent past, couple weeks ago, where maybe a situation happened that you could have handled a little bit better. And we walk through it and we break it down. And one of the really cool things that I did recently, and this is, I absolutely love this. I've been given the pleasure of working with a local organization that actually goes into prisons and works with the prison population to help them develop skills, right? And then they also work with them as they get on the post-release, and they call them the alumni, and they continue to work with them as they're transitioning to freedom and a job and all these other things. And one of the guys that was in one of the alumni meetings, we did this, and he talked about leaving an interview and feeling really upset because he didn't do as well as he could have, but he also felt that it was a direct reflection on him being a former inmate and how they looked down on him for that. So we talked through how he essentially put himself into a defeated state before the interviewer was allowed to tell him no. He had already decided that he wasn't going to get the job, and it showed in his emotions and his reactions, his posture, how he left the interview. And he was sure that he didn't, and I don't know what the result was because I haven't had a chance to follow up with him, but he was absolutely certain he wasn't going to get the job. And I said, you can't do that. That's like going into a sporting event and saying, I'm going to get killed today. You know, a boxer, what boxer or what fighter goes into the ring thinking, I'm going to get beat today? Because they're going to get beat. They don't do it. No professional walks in and says, today's just not my day. Because if you do, it's not your day. But if you want to be a top professional in whatever it is that you want to do, if you want to be the best husband, spouse, business person, recreational athlete, you have to have that mentality of what do I need to do? What do I need to say to myself so that I have the productive outcome that I'm looking for? So this works in all environments. That your self-talk matters, what you say to yourself. And I'm not talking about what other people say, because what other people say is their opinion. And honestly, somebody else's opinion of me is none of my business. The only thing that matters is what you say to yourself. And what you say to yourself drives your emotions and your physical reactions, and not the other way around.
Got it. I like that. And I love your example. Well, I don't love the example because it's not very nice for the guy, but I think it's a really solid example of if you he went in expecting that he was going to be looked down on and expecting that he was going to fail the interview. So, of course, that's what happens.
Yeah.
As you say, sports people, they don't go in going, today's not my day. I'm not going to win this game. That reminds me of Muhammad Ali. You know, he's he was known as the greatest. He always told everyone the greatest. He was the greatest. And so in an interview with him many years later, he said, I was telling people the greatest before I was. And that's why he became the greatest.
Yeah. And it's not a sure thing. You know, just because you tell yourself isn't the case. But we're not talking about controlling events. Remember, events happen. And the outcome in here, this is a self-awareness tool. We're talking about you having a productive outcome as it relates to you and your body and your mind and your emotions. I'm not talking about if you do this, all your business deals are going to go through. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you're going to put yourself in a mindset to have the outcome that you're looking for. And the outcome is related to you and your self-regulation, because you can't regulate until you're aware. And I'm very, very clear about that. This is a self-awareness tool. Until you're aware, you can't regulate, because then what are you going to regulate? You don't even understand what's going on inside your body. You're like, oh yeah, that driver in traffic cut me off and it ruined my day. No, that's not how your mind and body interact. You told yourself something. Because I've been driving in traffic before where I've been cut off, and my first thought was, he must be in a bigger hurry than I am. It's not that big of a deal. And I was fine. I've also had those days where I was cut off in traffic and it just blew me. I was so mad. Yeah. I am responsible for that. I'm going to get cut off in traffic. It's going to happen. I determine my outcome based on the thought and on the self-talk that I have. And that's where my number one place of control is. Leading into my second one is the idea of breathing. Breathing has a massive effect on you, because anybody at any time can simply sit up, throw their shoulders back, and take a deep breath. And everybody knows that's very relaxing, right? Likewise, if you're looking for the pep, you know, people are like, well, I need a soda or I need a coffee or something like that to get myself going. Well, before you have that cup of coffee in the afternoon, maybe try some speed up breaths. And what that is close your mouth, breathe through your nose, very quick, in, out, out. We call them speed up breaths. And you can just feel your body get going. Try that before you use some type of external stimulant, because now, again, you're practicing how to get your body going naturally. And the more you do that, the more you're in control, the more you can speed and slow yourself as you need, so that you're generating the amount of energy you need at the time to accomplish what you need to accomplish. Because if you're overproducing energy, now you're over the top, right? If you imagine energy production is like an arc, right in the middle, at the top of that peak of that arc is what we call the zone of optimal performance. You generate enough energy and then you don't produce anymore, because otherwise you go back over the edge again, right? So, and that's difference. Whether I'm, you know, training a police officer to shoot effectively, he doesn't want to be all psyched up. Maybe a football player, a rugby player. Well, I don't know. That depends. What is your personality? Do you like to be psyched out or do you like to be relaxed? It depends on the person. If you don't know yourself, you can't regulate properly.
Yeah. That all makes a lot of sense there. Makes a lot of sense. I know we could probably literally talk about this for hours.
I love talking about this all day long.
But I think we've already had a lot of content and a lot of very useful information in there. Some great tips there. For people who want to find out a bit more about you or a bit more about what you do, or perhaps even get in touch, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you or to find out more?
I always tell people Facebook because it's the easiest thing for the most people. And a lot of the content that I put out, even in other areas, is generally the same stuff. I don't custom make my channels on different social media. So I'll tell people Facebook, and then, you know, if you want to find me, you know, look me up, you'll probably find me somewhere.
Cool. So yeah, I mean, Neil's all over social media. He's got his website, his podcast, all that sort of stuff. All of the links, as usual, are in the show notes for this episode. You'll find that in the usual place, keithblakemorenoble.com/show. Go there, look for the one with Neil Wattier. You'll find all of his contact information. But if you want to go and find him, connect with him, look up what he does now, best place is on Facebook. You'll find him on Facebook. Look for Neil Wattier. His Facebook ID is neil.wattier.5. You'll find him on Facebook. You'll find lots more information about what he does. Yes. Yeah. Neil, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on here. Thank you so much.
It's been great. Thank you.
I've been scribbling a few tips and notes down myself. I'm sure many of our listeners will as well. And I'm sure we'll have you back at some point.
I'd love to
go into a bit more depth on some of these bits and pieces. Cool. Thank you so much for joining us, Neil. Thank you, dear listener, dear viewer, however you're catching us. Thank you for coming along, for spending some time with Neil and with me. Remember to subscribe, like us, share, comment, share it with your friends. I'll catch you in the next episode. And until then, I'll leave you with a beautiful quote from Neil, one of his favorite quotes. You can't get a positive outcome from a negative input.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.